Our brother Buzz needs no introduction. You know, he is a faithful servant of the Lord, and I know he has that desire this day to serve our God and to give us that message that's been placed on his heart. So I ask that you might give him a smile, give him, say a prayer in his heart, in your heart for him, and follow along and so that we can be fed this morning, so that we can hear the word of God. And it's always a pleasure to be up here with my brother Buzz. He's been an example to all of us, you know, of serving the Lord. And so I want to introduce Apostle Buzz Burkhouse.
Thank you, David. It's good to be here this morning. Welcome. Good morning.
Good morning.
Very good. I'm thankful to be here. It's always a blessing to be with the body of Christ, and I'm thankful for your prayers for me. This is the first time I've preached since before my surgery in September, and I'm thankful for the opportunity and the many prayers. If I had to title this, it would be Faith and Endurance. It's a subject. I'm so thankful for the scriptures that the Lord preserved for us, and the fact that he never changes, is in the same yesterday, today, and forever. And for the revelations that, and the knowledge that we have that God speaks to us from time to time, revelation. How many of us know where to find the articles? I don't want to miscall them. Articles and Covenants of the Church of Christ, I believe they're called. You know where to find them?
24.
24th chapter of Book of Commandments. And I'm going to read from that just to remind us of these things. And I'm going to start in the 30th verse on page 39 of the Book of Commandments. And it says, "Behold, whosoever humbleth himself before God and desireth to be baptized, and comes forth with a broken heart and a contrite spirit, and witnesses unto the church that they are truly repented of all their sins and are willing to take upon them the name of Christ, having a determination to serve him unto the end, and truly manifest by their works that they have received the Spirit of Christ unto the remission of their sins, then should they be received unto baptism in the Church of Christ." I thought that was an interesting part of this when we're ready to be baptized, we've repented of our sins and acknowledge that you've received the Spirit of God for the remission of sins, that you're ready for baptism. We don't have to be theologians. We don't have to know everything. The Spirit of God will teach us those things. And it goes on and says, "The duty of the elders, priests, teachers, deacons, and members of the Church of Christ. An apostle is an elder, and it's his calling to baptize and to ordain other elders, priests, teachers, and deacons, and to administer the flesh and blood of Christ according to the scriptures, and to teach, expound, exhort, baptize, and watch over the church, and to confirm the church by the laying on of hands and the giving of the Holy Ghost, and to take the lead of all meetings. The leaders are to conduct the meeting as they are led by the Holy Ghost. The priest's duty is to preach, teach, expound, exhort, and baptize. and administer the sacrament and visit the house of each member and exhort them to pray vocally and in secret and also to attend to all family duties. And ordain other priests, teachers, and deacons, and take the lead. And ordain other priests, teachers, and deacons, and take the lead of the meetings. But none of these offices is he to do when there is an elder present, but in all cases is to assist the elder. The teacher's duty is to watch over the church always and be with him and strengthen them, and see there is no iniquity in your church, neither hardness with each other, neither lying nor backbiting nor evil speaking. And see that the church meet together often. Also, that all members do their duty. And he is to take the lead of the meetings in the absence of an elder or priest, and to be assisted always in all his duties in the church by the deacons. Neither the teachers nor the deacons have authority to expound, exhort, and teach, and invite all to come unto the Christ. This was given sometime in the 1830s, and as instructions for the church, and we'd give an understanding of the duties of the ministry, and then in the verse 45 it says the duty of their members after they are received by baptism. The elders or priests are to have sufficient time to expound all things concerning the church of Christ to their understanding previous to their partaking of the sacrament and being confirmed by the laying on of hands of the elders, so that all things may be done in order. And the members are to manifest before the church and also before the elders by a godly walk and conversation that they are worthy of it, that there may be works and faith agreeable to Holy Scriptures, walking in holiness. We have a belief as a Church of Christ that the Bible and the Book of Mormon are the Word of God, and that we believe in Latter-day revelations. And we have a need to use them in our daily lives. I'd like to read from Timothy. I want to go back to something. When I was in rehab, I was in pain. I guess I was murmuring some, but I was praying unto the Lord and trying to remember all his blessings that he bestowed upon me. And all of a sudden the room was bright. And there was a bright image in front of me. I don't remember what it was, but I knew it was the Spirit of God, and it was the saints, the prayers of the saints being offered up to me and blessing me. And I was thankful for that experience. I had an experience And I want to mention these because we have a need to remember the blessings of God and all of the things that he does for us and all the impossible things that he does and accomplishes in our behalf daily, and to praise God. I think it was Friday night. I had a miserable night. I was getting ready, and I had some medical problem that Sue helped me with, and the Lord blessed me with. And David had told me if I wasn't able to come and preach, that he had a backup for me. And if I would have thought he was awake at 10 o'clock at night, I would have called him and told him I couldn't make it. And so I decided I was going to call him the first thing Saturday morning when I woke up. And up until that time, I had tried to prepare for the sermon. I had absolutely nothing. Nothing made any sense. So I felt that, you know, anybody that had to got the last minute notice was in the same position I was. But I got up and I was blessed. I was able to walk without my walker, the cane. I felt good. I changed my plan of calling David and thought I would sit down and look at some scriptures. And the Lord blessed me in that also, as he has in times past when I've been sick and had to stand, prepare, and receive the blessings of God. So all of a sudden, I have all these scriptures and all these references, and I'm going to be able to get to about half of them, I realize. But I'd like to start off with the fourth chapter of 1 Timothy. And it says, "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly, that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry, commanding to abstain from meats which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them who believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing is to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving. For it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. But refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather into goodness. For bodily exercise profiteth little, but goodness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is, of that which is to come, and of that which is come. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance. For therefore we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially all those that believe. These things command and teach. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Be an example of the believers. We're to love one another. We're to have charity. We're to have faith. We're to think of those things that are written in the scriptures. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Goes on and says, neglect not the gift that is given thee, which was given thee by the prophecy with the laying on of hands of the presbytery, the gift of the Holy Spirit. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all, that we might let our light shine, that we might carry the Spirit of Christ with us. Goes on and says, take heed unto the take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. We're to be that light on the hill. We're to witness to others of the Spirit of God. I'm going to turn to the fourth chapter of Ephesians. And read a couple of verses there. And it says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherein you are called. Repeating what Timothy was telling us, but he's beseeching us that we walk worthy of the vocation wherein we are called as Christians, as believers of Jesus Christ. Do so with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as ye are called, and one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. One God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. We're to walk with all lowliness and meekness. We're to consider others. We're to be mindful of their needs and see that they are met. And as we begin a new year here, we have a need to remember the marvelous blessings that the Lord has accomplished in our behalf. And his desire that we serve him, that we serve our fellow brothers and sisters, that we remember the great commandment, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, mind, and soul. And the second, like unto the first, we should love our neighbor as ourself. We should place both the Lord God and his Son Jesus Christ first in our lives. And secondly, those around us, that we might watch over them, protect them, and provide for their needs, to know of their needs, to be considerate of their needs. We read in the 11th chapter of Hebrew about faith. It says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained a witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had the testimony that he pleased God. You know, if we serve God and have faith in him and place our faith and trust in him only, he will bless us, as the scriptures testify. It's not the commandments aren't given to be a burden for us, but to bring us hope of an almighty God that's capable of everything. He knows our needs. He knows our desires. and he'll lift us up and bless us. It says, by faith, Noah, being warned of God of these things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Think of that. Noah was told to build an ark. It hadn't rained yet. Can you imagine how everybody laughed at him and mocked him and said, oh, 100 years, I think it took him. You know, it's a long time. But he was faithful, and he endured, and he was blessed. Scripture preserved that we might know of that unchangeable God who continues to be with us. I'm going to turn to Matthew 24. I got all these ones marked, but I found it was easy just to go to them or paraphrase them, because now I can't read my markings. Chapter 24, starting with verse 3. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? And Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. Ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled. For all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilence and earthquakes in diverse places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall arise, and shall deceive many. And because of iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. We're called to endure these things. Be aware of them and endure. And it goes on. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. For this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. The promise of Jesus Christ in his words, he's telling us, take heed. Let no man deceive you. There's going to be some terrible things that are happening, but those of us that continue in faith and endure to the end shall be saved. We're to endure in faithfulness, in the belief that the things and promises that are written in the scripture are true. And he'll bless us. Tells us to endure in faithfulness. We're to put up with the trials that we have. We're to consider future events and the coming of Jesus Christ and his promise to us. We're to tolerate those that hurt us, both physically and spiritually. We're to remain firm, steadfast, and immovable. Showing the love of God in our daily life. Last Monday, I get the Wall Street Journal and read it every day, or page through it, but pretty well read it. And there was a couple articles that I thought were interesting. One was a proclamation by the Pope of the Catholic Church. And he was saying that they needed to start a new evangelism in the West, in Western Europe and in the United States, and to completely change their way of thinking of things and make a drastic shift and be less rigid in their teachings. And I considered that, and I'm going to give you my opinion that what's going to happen on that is there are beliefs that the Catholics have in the past that agree with our good beliefs. In fact, maybe a lot that other churches don't believe in, on marriage, for example, and on homosexuality and things like that. And I'm afraid that in their complete shift in this evangelism, they're going to liberalize their beliefs and accept those things. And we need to be aware of that and be faithful and endure those things. The other article was a Pew survey in the same Wall Street Journal on the difference of the baby boomers and the millennial generation in their practices in attending church on Christmas. And the survey resulted in saying that 49% of the baby boomers say they go to church at least once a month. And 50% of the baby boomers say they go as many as no times to a few times a year, 50%. And of the younger generation, those that attend church at least once a month, it's 35% instead of 49%. And zero times or a few times a year, 63%. And so we see that in our culture, there seems to be a moving away of attending church. And yet the Lord tells us to meet together off, to fast and pray. And it goes on and says there's many of these cases why there's this apathy about going to church. It's not an ideological thing. It's about the people, about the politics, and about the hypocrisy that exists in the churches. And, I believe we all have those. We need to be more inviting and more welcoming and less rigid in our, maybe perhaps less rigid in our form of service, and loosen up a little bit, but hold fast to the doctrines. We're to listen to others, those that we, we have a belief that we're the Church of Christ on earth. We have a belief that we're the only one that has authority to represent him on earth. But when we talk to others and explain our beliefs, we have a need to to listen to their spiritual experiences that they have had in whatever church they're listening to. And build upon that belief. A little bit like Apollos in a book of Acts. A man fervent in the scriptures. You know, he knew the scriptures and he had a desire to serve and he was going out and preaching and doing the baptism of John. But two members of the church, what did they do? They took him and showed him the more perfect way. They began to reason with him in love. Not to argue, but to try to get them to understand that unchangeable God that we believe in and his testimonies and the things that are written in the scriptures. And so I say that in love and to myself to be a better listener of our youth, of our members, of our friends, and those about us, that they might have a desire to listen to us, and that we might bring the fullness of the gospel to them. When I sat down Saturday morning and began to study, I had a scripture that was given to me on my Bible app. And I don't often read them to their fullness. But I read this one and I thought, surely, this is not from one scripture. This has got to be a summary of a whole bunch of scriptures. And I was wrong. And it's the 8th chapter of Matthew. And I'm not going to read it all. But, you know, he performed all these miracles because people believed. You know, a leper worshiped and saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou can make me clean. And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. Do you believe that? What a miracle. It says that when Jesus, there came unto him a centurion, beseeching him. That wasn't an old 100-year-old man. That was someone that was a high military rank. People went in gold with whatever he said. And he said he had a servant at home, and he wanted Jesus to hear him, heal him. Knowing that he could heal him from wherever he was. And he went on and related that if I can, you know, tell every order people around, you can do much more because you're the mighty God. And Christ says, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith. No, not in Israel. And he told the centurion to go thy way, as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. And the servant was healed in the selfsame hour. He went to Peter's house and saw his mother laid sick of a fever, and he touched her hand, and she was healed. And it goes on in these things, all these marvelous blessings. And we're reminded of the faithfulness and the power of God. You know, we started the service with contra many blessings. And I have a need to do that. I am weak in faith and murmur and forget about the blessings sometimes. But I'm reminded of those when I hear testimonies and prayers. You know, we had Brother Sean Sprague preach an evening about a month ago. And I'm going to ask our pastor to ask him back and preach that service for us in the morning. It was a wonderful, wonderful service about enduring to the end, about abiding with Christ, about being firm in our relationship with Jesus Christ. It'd be excellent for each one of us, young and old, to hear it. And so I hope that we can do it. We're told in the fourth chapter, in James 2:14, to show our works, or to show our faith by our works. If we have faith, we need to put them to practice. Read that scripture sometimes in James 2:14 through 20. In Mormon 4:93, Mormon, in the Book of Mormon, chapter 4, verse 93, it says this: "Doubt not, but be believing, and begin as in the times of old, and come unto the Lord with all your heart, and work out your own salvation with fear and trembling before him." Doubt not, but believe in the miracles and the promises of God. And to do so with all our heart, and work out our own salvation with fear and trembling before God. He tells us in the scriptures that when we're serving our brothers and sisters, we're serving God. We're called to good works, to do the things and be an example of Jesus Christ. So in a little summary, as members, prospective members, we have a need to be believing and have faith and endure. We need to have those works that Brother Sprague called little maintenance things that strengthens us and cleans things up and makes us run better as we draw ourselves closer to the Lord. We need to desire to make a difference to those around us, looking for those that are lost than those that are in need. And to remember, when we walk out the doors today, we enter into the missionary field. Each one of us has that responsibility to be an example of Christ and to be ready to give a reason for our beliefs, to know our beliefs, and to be good listeners. I'm going to read a little bit from I added on to it, but Bick put it in his little thing, as he does every week, or whoever does it, and which we enjoy so much. It tells us, and I'm going to read from 1 Peter. Is that your quote, 1 Peter? All of a sudden. So I'm going to start it. "Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia," I shouldn't read these, "Asia," whatever the next one is, "elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification." I'm going to skip down to the third verse. That's where I was supposed to start. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." The hope that we have of eternal life. "To an inheritance incorrupt and undefiled and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Wherein we greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations. The trial of your faith being much more precious than gold that perish, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen ye love, and whom through now ye see him not, yet believing ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end and your faith, even through the salvation of your souls. We'll go through these trials, but we have a promise of God that He will, that if we endure, if we have faith, if we follow His example and cherish those things that are written and His words, wherever they're written, that we might be blessed. And at that last day, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of our own souls. Amen. Thank you very much for your time.